Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Key, I know you're very excited about Nestor Cortez's immaculate inning. 9 pitches, 3 strikeouts. Of course, the Yankees wound up losing, but we can't talk about that yet. Not right now, because we have too much to get into. Jay, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
There's been an ongoing debate on this show about whether or not the Lakers job at head coaching Lakers job, is a good job. Now, Key and I see this very much the same way. Whatever you think it is now, it's the Lakers head coaching job. You got LeBron James, right? And Jeannie Buss could wake up tomorrow and say, we're going to do it this way, and then there it is, right? It's a great job, even if it doesn't look that way at the moment. Jay, you feel differently about it, right?
I think there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen. I think when you have people like the Big Diesel that have insight into how the Lakers actually operate, he's one of the greatest to ever do it, who lives in L.A., I think that's extremely revealing. And I still think for any incoming head coach, you know, do you have alignment with the best player? Obviously, LeBron James. Is there alignment with LeBron James and Jeannie Buss? Is there alignment with Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka? Is there alignment with Rob Pelinka and Kurt Rambis? Is there alignment with Kurt Rambis and Jeannie and Linda? I just don't know which angle to come at it from. And it feels like it would take you half the damn year to understand how it even works before you even focus on coaching.
One of the greatest players in the history of basketball, who won 3 championships with the Lakers and nevertheless would not be on the Lakers Mount Rushmore because that franchise is just ridiculous. Shaquille O'Neal, Hall of Fame center, on the big podcast from Turner Sports, weighed in on this very topic.
If I was frank, as soon as they asked me that, I was like, nah, they didn't tell me anything, but they ain't going to have to tell me because I quit this terrible job.
Oh, you would have quit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would have quit. I'd been like, I quit. And all the other coaches thinking about coming to take this job, don't waste your time.
Yeah, I think right now, as it stands, it's a terrible job based on the makeup of the team and where they finished. But whenever you got LeBron James moving forward and Anthony Davis moving forward, man, I'll find the other 9 dudes. I'm going to give myself a fighting chance. I'm going to find the other 9, 10 dudes for sure with them 2 guys and just hope that they stay healthy. It's a bad job at the way it is right now. There's no question about it. Everybody would – hell, Jeannie Buss will tell you it's a bad job until they fix it. And I think that'll come in June. That'll come when they start to look at the pieces that's out there that they can acquire.
But, Key, you say, I'm going to go out and find another 9 to 12 guys. That's not your job as a head coach. You're relying upon your group of people to work collectively together to find you the right pieces. That was the same exact issue that Frank Vogel had. Like, they're like, oh, we're not going to pay Alex Caruso. Don't worry. LeBron James has an answer. We're going to bring in Russell Westbrook. All right, like, well, so which one is it?
But the thing is, Jay, they already used that capital up. They can't. They don't have – you know what I'm saying, Max? They don't have the luxury. Linda, Kurt, Rich Paul, LeBron, they already used that capital up. They can't do it again.
Well, we'll see. I mean, like, this is where – what's so interesting to me about – even at the ownership level about sports – is we could try to write people's stories all the time. Like when we say narrative, that's the big in vogue word, not a narrative. We could try to write the story, but people write their own stories, right? So just like a player, okay, James Harden, playoffs. Don't make me sit here tomorrow and say you choked. Hit the shots, right? Jeannie Buss is writing her own story. And what's so interesting to me is it could go a couple different ways, bunch of different ways. So far, to me, it's so good, Key, because when she took – like, look at the story for a second. Her father, greatest owner ever, by far, history of sports, team sports, he passes, and one of his dying wishes basically was, I want to use the business to keep the family together. It's a family-run business. Jeannie, you're the boss, but Jim is in charge of basketball. So Jeannie respected his wishes probably for too long, just as a responsible family member, a good daughter, the whole thing. But when she took those handcuffs off, she won a title within 2-3 years. So now the question is, you know, did you improve on the design? Did you do something new? What can you do now? And Key, maybe Linda and Kurt and whoever else is around her used their equity up. Maybe they didn't. That's going to be on Jeannie to make those decisions now. What kind of franchise will it be?
I am a betting man based on the history and watching her be a part of this Laker organization and finally getting the opportunity to run the team. I remember several years ago when who did she take it from, Jim? When they were running the team and she wasn't the primary person, her brothers were, and she said, when I get the opportunity, when I take over this thing, we going to win championships. So she started off on that right track by doing those things, bringing in Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson, whatever the case may be. I'm a betting man that she goes back to her strength by June to try and figure it out and get it done because it's all she knows.
Right. I can I say quickly, Jay?
Go ahead, Max.
I totally agree with Key. It's an open question. Now she has to do it. But if you asked me in my gut, do I think Jeannie will figure it all out? Yes, I do. I do. She always has given me that feeling.
I'm curious what our basketball analytics people would say. How many teams that went from missing the playoffs entirely back to winning an NBA championship the next year? I don't think the percentage would be too high. Let me finish. All I'm saying to you guys both is I hear what you guys are both talking about, that Jeannie could sprinkle some magic dust on it and it's going to be fixed. We got into an argument the other day about whether it was the play-in or the playoffs. Something that was expanded for 10 teams in each conference. The Lakers did not make that. So, there's a long way to go just to say all of a sudden, yeah, they're going to be back. There's a long way to not make the play-in tournament, y'all.
The last team, Jay, the last team to miss the playoffs, a team LeBron
joined, I'll bet.
The Lakers. The Lakers are the last team to win the title after not making
and
the playoffs.
And before that, it was the Cavs, right? It's always a team that LeBron joins.
The Cavs went to the finals that first year with LeBron after missing the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Last year, the Suns missed the playoffs and then went to the finals. And then they went to the finals last year. But the last team to miss the playoffs and win the title is Frank Vogel in his first season with a LeBron-led Lakers team. Fantastic. So if any team can do it, Jay, it's probably this team.
Okay, but how many years ago was that, Evan?
That was
two years ago.
Okay, and what's happened since? What's happened with Anthony Davis since? He hasn't played over 40 games.
Hold on, let me finish.
What's happened with this whole team and their makeup since? Like, they were a defensive-minded team. They lost all those pieces. So I'm just saying, you guys talk about just throwing pieces in, and all of a sudden, it doesn't work that way.
Can we parse this for a second?
I get that it doesn't work that way, but let me ask you this, though, Jay. If, in fact, Mark Jackson becomes the head coach of the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron James remain on the team, are you not trusting that Mark Jackson can get this thing turned around?
See, that's my thing. I don't think in year one.
But it's okay.
Because now you're asking a completely new roster.
Why has it got to be year one?
Because LeBron's going to be 38.
But
you're talking about where LeBron wants to finish. There's also pressure on whether LeBron finishes his career in L.A.
Can I parse this? I just want to split this into two separate topics because they're both legitimate. Obviously, the points, it's basketball, the points you're bringing up are legitimate, obviously, Jay, right? One is the Anthony Davis' health. That's a legitimate issue, and it feels like luck of the draw. It's something tells me if he's 40 games a year for a couple of years, he's probably due to get back to about 60, unless you think he's just done with 60 games a year, okay? So that bodes well for me. The second thing is it's just kind of like regression to the mean, right? The second thing is the surrounding pieces. Jay, those are details. Like he says, those are not the ice cream scoops in the sundae. Those are the nuts and the bananas and the chocolate syrup and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like those things are details that a good front office can fix in 1 year.
I'm just trying to tell you what other NBA coaches around the league have told me. That's all. So I hear what you guys saying from your
they
fan perspective
ain't getting a job
and the Max
anyway.
Kellerman perspective. I've just had conversations with some people around the league that have told me this is a bad
job.
No,
I know Jay is in his element feeling it right now, Keith.
They probably ain't getting a damn job anyway. I ain't listening to them.
But you got to see, Jay got the ball, got a basketball
got
with him. He's got it. He's got
Russell fingers on.
Yeah,
temple.
He's like the thinker, the statue, like with the, leaning on the basketball. The way he's handling the ball, he's just in his bag right now.
I'm just trying to tell you from people who have had, you know, decades of experience with how organizations have been ran. The things I've heard over the past year would blow your mind.
No, but Jay,
blow
I've
your
here,
mind, Key.
But see, being in LA, not only being in LA, but knowing people that is dialed into the Lakers, I've been hearing the same thing for years. Though the Jeannie, not the Jeannie, the Linda and the Kurt thing,
yo,
it drives people bananas.
What is it, Key? What I don't understand. Like, so Jeannie's I heard from my, one of my really good friends. that is a big-time coach in the league, was like, I can't imagine my owner's friend that she's made or he's made some kind of consultant have the gaffe to walk in and sit in my coaching meeting to tell me what I had to do after I won a championship a couple years ago. To tell me, hey, you should think about changing up your starting lineup or your rotation should look. Do you know? He's like, I would have slapped the hell out of that dude. Well, guy, it would have turned into a fight. So just think about that for a second. Like, you have autonomy of a ship that you just masterminded to win a championship, and you have an outsider that's coming in through the power of the owner that sits in your team meeting.
But it's that's like, something that Jeannie could fix by making a choice. And I'll point out again.
I think she's going to make a choice, though.
I agree.
Let me ask you a real question, Key.
She made a hard choice to take the team from her brother and run it. That's a hard choice.
I guess I'm just asking, Key, because you're more familiar with it in L.A. Like, how would you listen to that?
You're not going to listen to it. And I don't believe
so why is that in the room then? Why is it even a distraction that's even in the room? And
because
I'm not saying
you
that
trust
he can't,
someone,
but I'm not,
you know.
But that's fine. You can provide analysis without giving your interpretation inside.
Jay, it's a mistake. No one's going to defend that. It's a mistake. The question we're really asking, though, is that a
crazy
permanent fixture, or is that something we can all improve, right? Is that something Jeannie is going to eventually look in the mirror and say, okay, no matter what my relationship with this person who's married to Kurt
Absolutely,
Rambis, right?
Absolutely, Jay. I mean, Mac.
Right, Key? And it's to me,
Absolutely.
The question is, are you betting on Jeannie Buss as a
Jeannie.
Person
yeah,
or not? I am.
I don't bet on Jeannie to complete to get it back to where it was rolling in 1 year.
No, man. When the Heat starts to get hot in that kitchen with the Buss family, they respond. I can
no
honestly
doubt.
Say that.
Well, I mean, the father did, and to me, the one closest
did,
to the father is Jeannie. Yeah. Right,
think
but
about
they got,
it. I love
they
Jeannie.
Got, but Key, there's a gang of siblings, right? But
yeah,
Jeannie
absolutely.
Is the one who's the closest to the father, it looks like.
But Max,
yeah.
The last time there was a firestorm, they responded.
No doubt.
They went and got AD because the whole Magic thing fell apart. Prior to that, it was a firestorm because the brother was running the organization in the ground. What did she do? Give me that back.
Under the hardest emotional circumstances.
Exactly.
Think about it, Jay. Your dad. This is not, they don't own like some huge business and this is their vanity project. This is the family business. Bunch of siblings, right? The father, who the most beloved figure, genius, the whole thing passes, and now you're Jeannie, right? You're a good daughter, close to your dad. You're trying to, and you know that's what he wanted, so you let it go. Okay, my brother's running the team. It's what my father wanted. 1 year goes by, 2, 3, 4 years. This isn't working. I'll give it one more. Those are the dark days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then she's like, I need to take this team back and do what I got to do. She won a championship. Now, did things fall apart since then? Yes, but you got to give her time to learn. She's figuring this out.
It didn't really fall apart. What happened was a year ago in 2020, we got hurt when we were doing work on the Suns. Then we didn't finish the deal.
Yep.
This year, it fell apart because whatever happened in 2020, whoever came up with the genius idea of blowing things up, that was a mistake. I don't think they're going to repeat that same mistake, Jay. And I understand what you said. You can't just push go in 1 year and think this is going to work. That's something that they tried to do this year.
Yeah.
But as long as you got LeBron James,
and
for whatever reason, we can figure out how to get AD 100% healthy all the time or very
80%
large
of
majority
yeah.
of the time.
Having wishful dreaming, man. Hey, whatever we need to do to get AD 100% or 60% all the time. Okay.
If you could get that's AD at the 60 games, you're good.
So Max Kellerman takes a job. Mm-hmm. LeBron James does not sign his extension. Last year of his deal, homie. Making $44 million. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all.
But you know, he's signing his deal.
Key, all I'm trying to tell you, it's fine if he wants to sign an extension or not. It really is depending upon the decisions that are made and how. See, you guys are looking at it, Jeannie taking control. Fine. If you're LeBron, and let's say you're like, I don't know if I trust. Hypothetically, I don't know if I trust in that happening. But if you feel like control is being taken away from you and Rich Paul and it doesn't pan out, like all I'm saying is it creates a new agenda, a new scenario. For him to look at a situation and be like, maybe this is not where I want to end my career.
I think based on his
right.
age,
you know what?
We're going to be. Else, yeah. I think he does want to end his career in LA.
Right, I'm
I
saying
think
so. It's subjective.
I'm with Key and I are lockstep on this. You got LeBron. You got
Laker,
AD.
You're both Laker fans, of course.
I'm
you're
not
lockstep.
Talking from a fan's perspective.
You always talk from a fan perspective with the Lakers.
Well, fans,
no,
yes,
don't.
But also
I'm talking from an ownership perspective.
People who've been up close to the okay. situation and got to take that. A good look at it. You know, if you took a good look at the organization and the history of it, you have a sense of where there's a good chance it could go. Keyshawn,
just
Jay
keep
Will
rooting
Max.
For the Nets, Jay.
I like the Nets.
I'm straight.
If you're going to root for a New York team,
I'm just trying
team,
to tell
you
what other NBA people have told me. That's all.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. All right. Zero to the max. Teams whose windows are closing. Evan, you getting in on this?
I am, and To The Max is brought to you by Toyota. Make a powerful statement every time you pull up in the pickup. That's five, changing the game. The all-new Tundra, Toyota. Let's go play a shout-out, Toyota. Kyle Busch winning the race in Bristol last night. He drives a Toyota. All right, here's teams' windows closing. So I'm going to give you a team. Their window's closing. You're going to tell me 0, 50, or To The Max, your confidence level, they win a title before the window closes. Key, let's start with the Bucks. Do the Tampa Bay Bucks win another title before their window with Tom Brady closes? 0-50 to the max.
Because it's terrific, Tom, I'm going to say 50. I'm going to give it 50 because without Tom Brady, the window will be closed.
I'll say to the max. I mean, you bring a lot of the team back. You look at the NFC. I think they're right there. Yeah, I think they need to win the next one or two years in my eyes.
50. Because I can't say it's a sure thing, but that's a live 50. That's 50 with a bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the Packers? Window closing, 0-50 to the max, Key, that they win a title before Aaron Rodgers' window closes with the Packers.
Super max, man.
Yeah.
It's like super max with this football team because you got to think, we don't know what they're going to look like at the receiver position. They got older. They've gotten not younger. And then Aaron Rodgers, what's going to happen? Are they going to all of a sudden be one and done in the playoffs again? It's to the max.
Yeah, I'll say to the max, too. I mean, look, 5 years remaining on his contract. Contract runs until he's 43 years old. At the end of the day, they're going to be there.
50. I'm tempted to go 0, but Aaron Rodgers is so good, he's going to keep getting bites at the apple. But I see his performance under pressure going the wrong way. Earlier in his career, I used to think of him as a guy who, with the money on the line, he's ice water, right? Nowadays, I'm like, I don't trust him as much as I used to for whatever reason. He doesn't give me the same confidence in the playoffs.
Hold on, Evan. So, Max, which team in the NFC do you actually give a max to? If you're not giving it to
hold
the Bucks
on, hold
or
on,
the Packers.
Hold on. Okay. We're moving. Yep. We'll get there. I'm the captain now. The Broncos.
Look at me.
You've asserted control, El Capitan.
I am the
Broncos. To the max, 0-50 to the max that they win a title in Russell Wilson's window here, Key.
0, man. They got time. It's 0. They're not the best team in the division, let alone the best team in the conference. We still need to see what Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton are really about. I know everybody's, they got some great receivers. I'm like, combined, them dudes had 3 touchdowns last year. Don't tell me it was the quarterbacks.
Man, y'all are really off Russell Wilson like this.
Yep.
It's really happening. I'll go 50, man. I still think Russ is an elite quarterback, and I think there's some good talent around him. Granted, that division is loaded, but I think they'll make headway.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Max.
I think some people on this show sleep on Russell Wilson criminally. Like Russell Wilson's damn good. He's going to the Hall of Fame one day, and I can't give him a 0. I got to give him. I'm with Key on, I'm not sure how loaded they are offensively, but they got a good defense. They got a good offensive line. Russell Wilson's good. They got a shot.
Key, give him a 0.
And I'm not
zero.
Sure he's going to the Hall of Fame. If you had to give me 0-50 to the max, I'm
Jay?
like 50 leaning 0 on my confidence that Russell Wilson gets to the Hall of Fame. It's the same people who vote on MVP, and they have not given him a vote for MVP. I don't know that he's guaranteed.
Yes, and Evan would have intimate knowledge about voters in certain things.
But Russell Wilson never making Hall of Fame, according
Jay?
To Evan Wilner.
Jay?
Yes.
He just bought a house the size of yours in Denver.
Russell doing way better than me in life.
What else we got?
All right, Max, I want to start with you because this might answer Jay's question. 0-50 to the max that the 49ers win a Super Bowl. I'll give you in Kyle Shanahan's window, since they're probably going to have a different quarterback.
All right, well, so far I've been 50-50-50. I haven't really gone out on a limb and said zero or to the max, but this time I'm still going 50. I got to go 50. I got to give them a shot. That's a very well-run organization. They're in the mix every year. And if Trey Lance – I just don't know what Trey Lance is. If he's substantially better than Jimmy Garoppolo, then why wouldn't they win it? But I just don't know what he is. I got
to
find out.
So who are you picking to win the NFC?
Who am I picking to win the NFC? I will reveal that before the year begins.
Go ahead, Key. Wop, side to side, side to side.
Oh, I thought you were going to I would say the 49ers are at 50. He's been there a couple times in championship games. He's been to a Super Bowl. The Deebo Samuel thing could get a little interesting. But I think it's 50. I think John Lynch and him, they do a really good job when the chips are stacked against them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go zero.
I might mess around and take the Niners, by the way, Jay, to win the NFC.
I'm glad you've had time to think about it.
All right, one more here go. They went to the championship. They went to the Super Bowl last year. The Bengals, 0-50 to the max. They win a Super Bowl in Joe Burrow's window. Key.
I'm going to say 50, man. It's something about certain organizations, no matter what, they just can't ever get out of their own way, even though they got great players. We saw it with Carson Palmer and Ocho Cinco and the whole crew and TJ Houston-Zada. We saw it with Corey Dillon. Like, they had players, and they made noise, and they made you think. In the moment that you thought, they went backwards. So I'm kind of – it's the organization more so. That's why I got him at 50.
Yeah, I'll go to the max just because with Burrow, Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, there's a legit core. Obviously, again, some help on the O-line helps tremendously. I would say for Joe Burrow, now that that's been the standard set, you got to win a Super Bowl.
Super Max.
Let's go.
Joe Thurrow. Why do you think they call him Joe Thurrow? Oh, they don't? I do fine. It's still a great nickname. Joe Burrow, guys, his first full season, he came one throw away from winning, and it wasn't like it was an accident, and it took Aaron Donald, highlight of one of the greatest careers ever, to stop him from winning. You think he's never getting back?
Nah, Max, though, but think about it. T. Higgins? He need $25 million a year, right?
They'll $30
million
else.
A year. And then Chase going to need another 30, you know, so
yeah,
you ain't going to be able to
Chase.
Keep all that together.
Yeah, yeah. But you for a minute you can. For a minute you can, and then they'll draft
Higgins,
someone else.
You got to pay T. Higgins next year. You have to give T. Higgins. You have to back the truck up for T. next offseason.
You'll find someone else. Joe Burrow is not – Joe Burrow is going to win multiple Super Bowls in his career. I'm confident about that.
You should
like,
go bet
more
a lot
one.
Of money on that.
I want to. I want to. I believe in that guy.
Jay, call your guy.
Every guy has a guy.
Kyle, especially Jay. Jay got more than one. Kyrie tells Boston fans they're number one. Boy, was that misinterpreted, right? It wasn't hostility. He was saying they're number one. And will a playoff team see their former number one pick before the season ends?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Joining us now, guys, Antonio Daniels. That's Sirius XM NBA Radio Pelicans TV analyst and also 1999 NBA champ. Good morning, Antonio.
Good morning, Max. What's up, T-Sean? My man, Jay Will. What's up, brother?
What's up, AD? Hey, I got to ask you right off the bat, man. Everybody's talking about Kyrie, but I wanted to ask you about Kevin Durant, 23 points on 24 shots. Mm-hmm. What did you see Boston do to him defensively that got him to be so less efficient?
Well, first, I think they made him play in a crowd, and that's really difficult to do. They made him see a wall. And this time of the year, this is why I love playoff basketball. Because with all due respect, you're not playing against some of these other teams. This is no knock against Kevin Durant. I think he's possibly the best offensive player to ever touch a floor. But when you have a Ime Udoka, you have a defensive game plan. It's one thing to have a defensive game plan. It's another thing to have a roster constructed to execute that defensive game plan. And being without Robert Williams, they had to approach this a little different. So they ran bodies at him. They never allowed Kevin Durant an opportunity to play one-on-one basketball. And he struggled a little bit. But what you would expect from Kevin Durant, because he's battle-tested and experienced, it'll be a little different in 48 hours. Because now you can adjust to the adjustment that Ime Udoka made.
Mm. Tone, what's your thoughts on Kyrie and the Boston fans? We obviously know what took place in Boston yesterday. But, you know, just your thoughts on it.
I think it's to be expected. You know, when you have a divorce that ended the way that Kyrie's divorce ended in Boston, I mean, real talk, man. Like, Keyshawn, you know, Jay, you know, Max, you know. Like, listen, there's an emotional aspect that comes to sports. Fans approach the game different. So just because as athletes, we get over and we move on, we know that they don't. So when Kyrie went into TD Garden yesterday, he knew what was coming. He 100% knew what was coming physically, emotionally, and mentally. And he was prepared for it. But the thing is, like, I don't think fans understand sometimes the amount of motivation that that gives a player to go out there and do what Kyrie Irving did yesterday. He almost single-handedly led the Brooklyn Nets to victory yesterday. Almost. And I think a lot of that had to do with the motivation and things that he was hearing from the crowd. To be expected this time of the year.
AD, we were talking about before Kevin Durant not only being expected to drop 30-plus a game, but also defend Jason Tatum and how that can take away from his legs on the offensive end for what he has to do on the defensive end. How much do you think that the Nets could use Ben Simmons in this series if he were available?
Oh man, it's huge. That's huge. In today's NBA, man, it is all about playmaking. You have guys, look at every series that you're looking at. Obviously, you exclude Jokic, you exclude Joel Embiid. Everybody else has the ability to really put that ball on the floor and make plays from 40, 50 feet out. You need defensive versatility. You need guys like Ben Simmons, guys that you can play at the five that gives you a different look. Kevin Durant, you can't ask Kevin Durant to be the best version of Kevin Durant and go out there and guard Jason Tatum and guard Jaylen Brown. That's why if you're Boston, you have guys like Marcus Smart. They got dogs. Boston got different looks that they can throw at Kevin Durant.
But, AD, let me ask you a question, AD. Why not? Kyrie Irving. Why can't you ask Kevin Durant to go out and guard the other team's best player? I mean, Jason Tatum was guarding him. Is it because of his age?
No. Well, you can look at that. But also, Jason Tatum wasn't guarding Kevin Durant one-on-one. You know what I mean? That, your first question, Jay, was about what did they do different.
Yeah.
It's different if you tell Jason Tatum, go out and guard Kevin Durant. Good luck. We're going to put you out there on Revis Island. That ain't happening. You know, Tatum knew if I push up on Kevin Durant, this is about your defensive concept. This is about your defensive scheme. I know what I have to my left. I know what I have to my right. I know where my help is coming from. You know what I mean? I know where Al Horford is. I know where the double team is coming from. Brooklyn is constructed different. There is a reason at the end of the year the Boston Celtics were the number one defensive team in the league. There is a reason why. Brooklyn's not constructed that way. You know, you can't ask him to go out and guard. You can't ask KD to go out and guard Jason Tatum. And then say, well, all right, you know what, Patty Mills, you're going to build a wall. Or Seth Curry, you're going to build a wall. Because the difference between the two teams is Brooklyn will outscore you. Boston's not trying to outscore you. They're trying to stop you and then use that stop to score. There's a difference in the mentality of these two teams.
Antonio Daniels, Sirius XM NBA Radio, Pelicans TV analyst, and 1999 NBA champion, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Go up 95, or is it down 95, Jay? Which one is it? To the Philadelphia 76ers.
Down 95.
Down 95 to the Philadelphia 76ers, and talk a little bit about Harden. We saw him, AD, struggled at the end of the season, but he lit it up this first game. What did you see different from him?
He didn't turn the basketball over. I think that was the big thing for me. You know, like, if James Harden, if he takes care of the basketball, he's fine. I don't care. You can be inefficient. I get it. It helps when you have Tyrese Maxey. His understanding of the game in game one was a little different to me, in a good way, in a positive way. And he spoke about this after the game. You have to understand who has it going and where that basketball needs to go. James Harden didn't need, nor does he need, to be the best player on the floor now in Philly. This is a different kind of pressure that he's under. I don't think that me and Jay Will talked about this last week. I don't think there's any guy in the league that's under more pressure than James Harden, but he's not under the same type of pressure he was under in Houston. In Houston, he had to be that guy. He can actually be Alfred. He doesn't have to be Batman. He doesn't have to be Robin. He can actually be Alfred in Philadelphia and be good. Because when you look at that game, Tyrese Maxey and then Joel Embiid and then James Harden, and ain't nobody tripping on it. He gave him 22-14 and only turned the basketball over one time.
I think Alfred may take better care of himself, though, AD. I think Alfred may take better care. I think Alfred may take better care of himself is the only thing.
And Alfred may make $275 million. Man, it feels good to work for Bruce Wayne. AD, I do want to ask.
Albert, listen, man, you got to have a lot of money to have a home and a cave. You know what I mean? Those don't come by accident.
Hey, talking about somebody who has a chance to be elite in this league, AD, what's the latest that you're hearing on Zion, obviously, with this the Pelicans playing in the first round of the playoffs?
Not much, which I wouldn't expect any. I wouldn't expect anything different.
You think he's going to come back and play?
I can tell you this. I talked to him last week before the San Antonio play-in game, and he feels great. He's happy. I'll go ahead and put that out there to kind of shut the narrative down. But he's ready to hoop, which I can understand. Like, you think this is his third year. Our timelines align with each other. So when he came in and was drafted, it was my first year as the Pels color analyst. So think about that year. Year one, he got injured. Came back. Then the season got suspended, right? So then you come back in the bubble. He had to leave the bubble and then come back. Then the season's over. Last year, he came back and had a fantastic year. 27 points on 61% from the field, okay? We saw the generational talent that he is. Now starting off this year again, he started off injured. So he wants to be a part of what's going on right now, which is completely understandable. But as you all know, you have to keep the athlete from himself a lot of the time. This ain't no ankle sprain. You know, this is nothing small. You know, so I think that the approach that the Pelicans have is, yes, we would love to have you on the floor right now. We would love to have you on the floor. But long term, we have to be concerned with your long term health. And that is the bigger picture here.
Antonio Daniels, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for jumping on with us this morning, AD.
All right, AD.
For sure. I appreciate it, fellas. I'll holler at you, Jay. My man.
Appreciate you. Was it hostility or energy? Boy, you better say the right word around Kyrie Irving, and his definition may change from moment to moment. That's next. We're back in less than 2 minutes. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Jay.
Yeah, I have a gripe.
You got a gripe.
I do.
You've been talking about it all morning.
Yeah, because it's like, so we go Easter egg hunting, and it's at this bigger field where every kid in the neighborhood's there. And this Easter bunny is 6'5". And my daughter is Max, Easter bunny's taller than my ass. 6'5". Yeah. And he coming around, it takes a lot. That's right, Key. I'm 6'2". It takes a lot. So it comes over, like, doing, like, the fake little bunny hop.
It's like a kangaroo. It's not a bunny.
It's like Kevin Durant hopping around here. My daughter's scared. And it led me to this conversation with my wife. I'm like, we can't have tall Easter bunnies anymore. You're here to make friends with the kids, not scare the kids. Think about every Easter bunny, small, tiny.
What should the height requirement be for an Easter bunny?
Evan's size or smaller.
Evan size.
Easter bunny should always be at least 5'8" or smaller.
Evan size or smaller. Our producer, Evan size or smaller.
Evan will be the cutest Easter bunny.
He'll be the cutest Easter bunny of all time.
People on the radio don't know how tall I am. Mm-hmm. Jay says, you know, at least 6 feet. 6 feet, you know.
Lies.
Evan size, I'm taller.
Yeah. Evan, what's your driver's license height?
5'4".
That's perfect ish. Bunny.
5'4".
That means 5'3". That means 5'3", no shoes on.
He's a perfect, adorable Easter bunny. He should be what kids see as an Easter bunny.
I don't think I have the hops.
You don't need the hops. I just need you to make the kids feel welcomed.
It is funny. Like, I think of – I won't mention any franchises by name, but there are some, like, with basically, like you know, pests as – like giant pests as mascots, right? You're there with the kids and everything. You're eating
what are you
food,
doing?
And all of a sudden, some dude comes in a huge costume or something. I don't want to see that animal.
Yes, we like that pest. He's very nice to us.
Oh, I'm not talking about that one. I mean a place where you. I mean a place where you.
I didn't even put that together. Why is my brain
so
slow?
I have to say,
I mean a place where you
yourself.
Eat. You may shoot some baskets. You know, stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not just going there.
Your kid may have a birthday party.
To keep my job.
Yes, I'm just trying to make
But
sure.
I don't need it. I don't need him in a life-size outfit while I'm eating.
Man, that pest has some fangs, though. When he gets angry.
Oh, man. Yes, but a little nice, cute mouse would be, I mean, a little rabbit
bunny,
would be perfect.
Yeah. Evan size. I'm trying to tell y'all. It's adorable.
Would a mouse be even better, Key?
Well, mouses are great. I love them. Right, they're the best thing going.
The best thing out there.
Yes. How many more do you need?
They sign my check once a week. I'm still going to stick with the mouse.
Look,
I love that
top right hand corner. He smiles at me.
So I'm with you there. Yeah. I'm with you. I find mascots a little disturbing as it is.
No 6'5" Easter bunnies, man. Can't have Easter bunnies around here like Alan Gates.
Pat him on the head.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He said Wednesday night. I said Friday. He said Wednesday. I said, oh, I mean Wednesday.
Yeah, me fooled.
Oh, I was at it for a minute.
Keyshawn J. Will,
like,
Max,
oh,
ESPN
I got my
radio.
Days crossed up.
Then
holidays.
I lost it. Then I lost it.
Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. So what should we talk about? Well, 9.8%. So 10% of you said the Josh Allen comparison with Malik Willis. 11% of you said A-Rod's Mets prediction. Said with Buck Showalter and 31 dudes in the analytics department, they're going to win 2 World Series in the next 10 years. 21% of you said wide receiver drama. But 58% says Kyrie versus Boston. So, gentlemen, there you have it. Kyrie. Jay, you were talking about like the revenge tour. Mm-hmm. Get the Cavs. Go get the Celtics. I got to tell you the truth. The whole game for me, it had the feeling like Kyrie was just going to get it done. But in the end, Tatum got it done.
Well, first off, it felt like a game seven. Like that didn't feel like game one. It did feel like game one. It felt like game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And then I really do wonder this. And it's Kyrie, obviously, we'll get into like him, you know, and the fans and stuff back and forth. But like, do fans recognize how much power they give a guy like that when they yell? Like, he's a guy that embraces that, and it brings out a better version of him, Max.
It does.
Almost in a way, like it's the fans are helping him get to a place that he may not get to, because at times Kyrie can float. He's a killer, but he can float. You know, but when you get him locked in, it becomes different.
A locked in Kyrie is a dangerous thing. Yes. Even when he's not locked in, it's a problem. But what's crazy is, because Tatum won it, it took a little edge off it for me. Like Kyrie, if he would have won it, would have had the upper hand. But maybe a little saltiness after the game and the press conference had not just to do with the fans, but the fact that in the end, the other team won. Listen to Kyrie at the postgame presser.
Look, I'm just where I'm from, you know, I'm used to all these antics and people being close nearby. You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but, you know, when people start yelling bitch and you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take as a competitor. And, you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. This is what it is. You know, I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them.
So he's being asked that because he flipped off the fans, right? It was in front of everybody, right? So Nick Friedell, our very own Nick Friedell, followed up with Kyrie like this. Listen to this question answer.
From a basketball standpoint,
yeah.
Do you feel like the hostility you get?
There's no hostility, bro. It's basketball.
When you were flicking some people off, I'd say that's some hostility.
From what? What point? Are you guessing that that's hostility? Or like, well, hostility for me is like growing up.
Well, we've never seen that from you this season where you are running down the floor flicking people off.
It's the first time you actually caught it because it's a big time game. I respond in different ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to focus on that. If you want to ask me questions about the fans, go ask them. Go on the street and ask them questions. All right?
But I'm asking from your perspective, from a basketball perspective, do you feel like the hostility that you get?
It's not hostility,
fans,
bro.
Do you feel like the energy you get from fans in this building brings embrace out it. The best from you?
Embrace it. Embrace it. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
Luke, I'm your father. What you talking about, though, man?
Yo, Key, why is it the dark side if he said it's not hostility in one breath? Like when the wildest
help me,
thing,
Jay, because I don't understand that Duke stuff.
The wildest thing, Jay, to me is like when he's like, Nick Friedell said very clearly, the fans are yelling. He goes, not hostility. Okay. Well, how do you mean it's not hostility? They're yelling obscenities at you.
Obviously, the word inflamed him, but I would interpret it like this. I think Kyrie's all about, hey, what energy he decides to absorb. So if he absorbs that type of energy, he's going to reflect that type of energy. So for him, like, that's what he's talking about. Like, hey, if y'all want to go dark, let's go zero dark 30 out here. Let's do it.
But
that's the only way I can interpret.
Sometimes he's just oppositional. Let me tell you what
of
I mean.
Of course.
Because Nick Friedell said,
Max, you are oppositional sometimes as well. Like, it,
but we're talking about Kyrie right now.
I'm just saying, like, it's
Nick Friedell.
But sometimes people have points that they're not going to hear it. They're going to double
Nick's,
down on
but
it.
But that's fine if he was talking about I'm not being hostile. Nick Friedell said the fans' hostility, and Kyrie was like, from what? How do you know? What do you mean hostile? Kyrie, you just said they're wild, yelling all kinds of wild stuff at you. That's why you flipped them off. That's how they're being hostile. It's about the fans' hostility.
I can't make sense of it. I mean, like, that,
I ain't trying. I'm not trying to make sense.
Like
of
I
it,
said
Jake.
Before, I am focused on what this man does on the court, and on the court, he's something different.
Yeah, well, that's
if,
for
it,
sure.
If it fuels him though to go back at the fans, so be it. I know one thing: fans don't have the right to talk to you crazy just because they pay money to come into a building. That's what I do know.
I'll tell you this, Key. If it was like that yesterday, I can't wait to see what it's going to be like game two.
Yeah, there's a big difference between you, okay, for purposes of radio, you stink, right? You could say that all you want at a game because you're commenting on the play and making ad hominem attacks, like attacking someone's character or family or saying wild stuff. I agree with Key there. The price of admission does not entitle you to mistreat people in that way. You can expect a little clapback. yeah, from time to time.
I mean, the oppositional thing, that's
Something
Kyrie.
Else.
That's
yes,
Kyrie.
Max, you.
Yeah. Greeny's next. We're back tomorrow with the start of our mock draft. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.